Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We've got a great show today. We're calling it the 4Js. We've got Jonathan Hayes, Jarrett Bell, Jonathan Clayton, and Jim Beatty. Starting with Jonathan Hayes, one of the bright young tight end coaches in the NFL in his fourth year with Cincinnati. Jonathan, thanks for taking time out, bud.
Not a problem, Nick. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, you know, we talked a lot about whether we had a clue, whether we'd have a chance to do good things after our careers were over. What kind of change has it been for you in terms of your personal schedule? Any free time at all as an NFL coach?
Oh, yeah, you have free time, but most of it, of course, is in the off season. Fridays, you get home by 3 o'clock or so. I have a chance to go pick up my son. But for the most part, during the season, your schedule is awful tight. But in the off season, that's when you have your time, and you kind of have a normal life, and you're in and out of the office 8:30 to 5 o'clock. You're out of here, and sometimes earlier. And of course, it just depends on the guy you work for too. So that's always, you know, going to be the case no matter if you're in college or if you're in pro. When I was in college, the guy I worked for, you know, he believed in getting you out of there, getting some rest, so you could
fresh.
Be ready to go and have be on your game and not that we didn't work hard there at Oklahoma, but he just wanted you to have your rest and just, you know, come back with your juices flowing and being able to coach them up the best you can.
I'll tell you what, it's a marathon. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jonathan Hayes, tight ends coach with Cincinnati, about their roller coaster season at 8-7. We're also going to talk a little bit about something Jonathan knows about, the black coaches in the NFL. Listen to this list. Marvin Lewis, his coach, Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy, Herman Edwards, four of the best in the game, and what a difference they're making to the caliber of football in the NFL. We'll be right back on Sirius Satellite with Jonathan Hayes, Cincinnati Bengals coach, and then we'll be joined by John Clayton from ESPN, the professor. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
On Tee to Green, we don't just play golf, we talk a good game too. We talk equipment, courses, clothing, golf vacations, putting, and how to hit it longer and straighter. And sometimes we do it with the biggest names in the game. It's a show by golfers for golfers. Join me, Jay Ritchie, as we tee it up Sunday mornings at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for Tee to Green, the golf show, where America talks golf on Sirius Channel 122 and the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information. So register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgamesradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
George Rosa III from the renowned Hallmark Institute of Photography.
If you are like many of our incoming students, you're wondering if now's the time to make an important change in your life. If you're serious about a career in which you can earn a living and be happy, and photography is your passion, our 10-month intensive program is your ticket to change. Don't wait any longer. Visit us at hallmark.edu. I'm George Rosa III, president of Hallmark Institute of Photography, where our mission is your success.
Hallmark Institute of Photography, 413-863-2478.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline with Jonathan Hayes. It's a big day. Thanks for making the time on a Thursday, Jonathan. Let's go straight to Marvin Lewis. What's it like working with him? How hard do you work? How do you compare with a Marty Schottenheimer?
They're about exactly the same. really, I mean, two guys, from both of them from Western Pennsylvania, both of them from McDonald, Pennsylvania, both of them, you know, grew up with that work ethic, and we all grew up in the same area, and so when you come to work, you better come, bring your lunch pail, and be ready to work, and I think that has been instilled into our football team, though, too. It reflects our head coach and how we're going to go about our work and the things we're going to do to get better every game. And you know, right now we lost the last two games, but you know, we have an opportunity still to do some things. And the most important thing we have to do is beat the Steelers. And Marvin is making sure that our players and our team understand that. And our coach.
Jonathan, how tough was it to lose that game when you came back, Carson Palmer, one more great comeback? You're looking like you're going to overtime. How tough was that for the team?
It was a tough loss. It's one of those losses that, you know, it really sticks on you and sticks to you for a while. But the thing that we have to do, and we had to do this week, is go forward. We have to move on. Just as you well know, Nick, Marty was probably worse when we won and better when we lost. And Marvin is very similar. You know, when you win, everything's good and dandy. So you have to find the bad things and pick people apart. But when you lose, you know you got to get over it, because the season goes so quickly. And we were always in contention in Kansas City, and the same thing here. So, you know, we had to come back, be ready, upbeat, set our game plan on Tuesday, and then our players came back on Wednesday. They had Christmas Day off and allowed them to enjoy themselves and their families and friends and all those things. But when they came back yesterday, we had a good, crisp practice, and it was very up-tempo, and Marvin sets the pace for that.
Final question for you, buddy. We'll let you go. But, you know, Larry Johnson made some interesting comments about how different it was to have Herman Edwards as an African-American coach, understanding him culturally, understanding how to communicate and connect with him, that maybe, arguably, Dick Vermeil, the most player-oriented, popular coach, some would say, in the NFL in the last decade, if not two decades, could not do. What's your comment on that?
Well, you know, I can't speak from it, but from afar, because I wasn't there at the organization. So, you know, I think that whether it's a black coach or a white coach, players understand that if you care first as a coach, they'll almost do anything for you if you show that you care. It doesn't matter how much X's and O's is, you can teach them. They want to know that you care about them first as people. And if you show that, I think that you're going to get a good response. Now, there's always someone, that, as you well know, Nick, as a past player, someone's going to be pissed off in the locker room. You know, I didn't get enough this, I didn't do that, you know, they didn't give me enough, you know. And when you get that, sometimes, you know, guys become disgruntled with the head man. And Dick and just from seeing some of the things that happened, Dick and LJ at times, you know, had their differences because, you know, LJ was still growing up, and he still is. You know, I just like the other day, hey, he got after...
Not happy with the offense.
Yeah, not happy with the offense and some of the things he said the other day. So, I mean, you say those things that, oh, yeah, everything's good, but then if you don't get enough touches or whatever, then we become idiots again all over. So I don't think it really, to me, it's not as much about the color of anyone's skin. I think you should have an equal opportunity at any job as long as you're qualified. And I think there's a lot of qualified African-American coaches out in the world, along with a lot of qualified coaches from other ethnic backgrounds. It's just...
We appreciate it, buddy.
But it's amazing that we're not... Some of the minorities have not been given the same opportunities, and I think that hopefully it'll continue to grow and become better.
I think it is, and maybe in a few years we'll be seeing Jonathan Hayes as a head coach, too. Good luck this weekend, man.
All right, you
against
take
the Steelers,
care
bud.
Now, Nick. Good talking.
Appreciate
to
it, Jonathan. Now we're moving on to our next Jay, a guy that knows about what Jonathan Hayes just said, people that are pissed off in the locker room. John Clayton, the New York Giants, people pissed off in the locker room. What's your latest, my friend?
Well, I mean, I think that the frustration is really building, and now Tom Coughlin's literally fighting for his job. I mean, to make a move like he did this week and demoting the offensive coordinator, John Huffnagel, giving Kevin Gilbride the chance to try to fix Eli Manning in 1 week. You got Tiki Barber on the way out. Michael Strahan's done for the season. I mean, things are internally a mess right now. And, you know, if they lose this game, Coughlin may be out. Ernie Accorsi is leaving on Monday. That'll be his last day. He's retiring. Tiki Barber's retiring. I mean, it's really coming down to a big Saturday night. It's like do or die.
We talked with Marv Levy yesterday, Mark Schlereth, about some coaches that have that magic ability. Dick Vermeil's one of those people to connect for the most part, certainly. Is there the sense that with Coughlin that he just hasn't connected with enough of the players, and so you hear every week another player talking about, well, yeah, we all are to blame, including the head coach?
Well, I think that a lot of that may be overrated, and I think a lot of... I mean, let's put it this way. Tom Coughlin doesn't make it fun for everybody, but sometimes it's not supposed to be fun. What your idea is to try to win. And, you know, he's a very detailed-oriented guy, but he's also a very fair guy, and I think that sometimes that wears. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, his style is very good for the Giants because he comes in with a disciplined system. You know, once you get into that building, he wants you to concentrate on football. But he also, you know, once you're out of the building, you can do whatever you want to do. So I think that, you know, he tries to get a good structure, and a lot of times there may be players that don't like that kind of structure because, you know, you want more of a player's coach. Well, he's definitely not a player's coach. He's a guy that's attentive to details, and, you know, I just think it came down to 7 injuries that they had on defense that took away starters, along with the fact that he may lose his job because Eli Manning is getting worse.
And Eli Manning certainly has not. It was so interesting at the point where you thought he'd taken the step up, almost on an exact parallel with the point when you thought Michael Vick had taken another step up, and they have been on a downhill slant. We've talked about Coach of the Year in the last couple of days. Sean Payton is the pick of Len Dawson. Mark Schlereth was talking about Baltimore and Brian Billick, of course, and how they've become his top pick for the Super Bowl. Who's your pick?
Sean Payton. I don't think there's... I think only maybe you can challenge him with Eric Mangini, but... I think in a lot of ways you overthink things if you think anybody other than Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton took over a team that was torn apart by Hurricane Katrina, had 27 new players, took on a quarterback that he didn't even know was going to get to the regular season because he had a total tear of his shoulder that was repaired in the off season. You know, he's battled off and on all year without Joe Horn. He's revamped the offensive line. I mean, and he's now had the number 2 seed in the NFC, and so I just think that unchallenged is the top coaching job of the year, even though Mangini's had a good year, Jeff Fisher's had a good year, Brian Billick's had a good year. I think it's Sean Payton and nobody else.
In our last minute, John Clayton, the professor, you know, it's interesting how everybody's focusing on the teams that are being resurrected from the depths. What about Marty Schottenheimer? What about Lovie Smith?
Well, I mean, not for Coach of the Year, because at least you can say when Sean Payton took over the job in New Orleans, what did he have? You know, you knew that San Diego had the best front 7 in football and a good young quarterback, and you knew that Chicago Bears with Lovie Smith has a great defense. Now what has to be done is that Marty has to try to win a Super Bowl, and the Bears have to try to get Lovie a new contract because his contract's up in another year or two.
Well, we're going to try to get you a new contract, buddy. You are the best. Thanks for joining us, John. Have a good week, man.
Okay.
Thank you. The Professor John Clayton. When we come back, we are going to talk more about a guy that could be, except for the fact they had such a good year last year, without a quarterback. They had no quarterback last year. Talking about the Chicago Bears, we're going to talk about Lovie Smith and what he has endured this year and what's ahead for them, Baltimore, San Diego, and the rush for the Super Bowl. Stay tuned to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Do you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are creditors hassling you for payment? Did you know that new laws require your minimum payments to double? If you can't afford it, please call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Save thousands or tens of thousands off what you currently owe. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Financial Freedom of America does all the work for you, but you need to have at least $10,000 in credit card bills to qualify for this program. Eliminate the stress that comes from being neck deep in credit card debt. Call Financial Freedom of America now at 800-768-9617. That's toll free, 800-768-9617. Call now for your free consultation, 800-768-9617.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back. We want to thank Jonathan Hayes and John Clayton, two of the J's. It's four J's today. Next J is Jarrett Bell. Jarrett Bell from USA Today, how are you?
What's happening, Nick? That's pretty cool. You got a little J thing going on.
Yeah, Dr. J.
I hear you. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, Jarrett. Listen, I know you wrote a great article about Lovie Smith. We talked about Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati with Jonathan Hayes. We've talked about, you know, the lack of black coaches, and, of course, LJ's comment last week. We talked about that and whether there can be done more to communicate and connect with players. And Marv Levy had an interesting thing to say yesterday, which is, ultimately, Dick Vermeil said this too, ultimately, if they perceive that you are one, honest, and two, you care about them, you've got most of the battle won. Tell us about Lovie Smith.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with Lovie Smith is that, you know, he really relates to his players and, you know, listens to his players, you know, and I think that's something, and, you know, that's not a black-white thing per se. It's more or less, you know, like you said, Marv Levy said, an ability to communicate with your people, and you kind of get respect and you give and get respect both ways, and I think that's what makes it effective. Lovie Smith, the one thing I was talking to Jerry Angelo, the Bears GM, about him, and he said, you know, Lovie's got this great quality to really keep everybody calm and composed when they strike adversity, and that's been something that that they're really having to deal with as the season progresses.
ESPN ran that shot. I thought it was, to me, the signature statement about Lovie Smith after Rex Grossman had a, what was it, 0.15 game quarterback rating, and he said, you know, we're, whatever it was, we're
12-2,
whatever it was, you know, and Rex Grossman is our quarterback. And he said that over and over again, and I saw it, the sense of loyalty we talked about on the show yesterday with Seth Joyner and Marty Schottenheimer, how he could do it. We saw it with a number of coaches that didn't necessarily have the most imaginative schemes, but it builds a sense of loyalty. This guy's not going to call me out in public. You look at what happened. We'll get to Tank Johnson in a second, but what is it about the way Lovie Smith treats his players that makes them feel like they can trust him?
Yeah, I think that's what it is that you know that when you're going to have some criticism, it's going to happen behind closed doors. And, you know, that really went over big in the Bears locker room. And it's not that they don't think that Brian Griese is a guy who could probably come in, but, you know, at that position especially, that's your leader. And you built so much going into the season and preparing for the season to have this guy be the guy that leads you. So once he hits a rough stretch, you really just don't want to, you know, kick him to the curb. And, you know, the thing that Lovie told me, Nick, about it, he really likens his football team to his family. And he said, hey, if a guy makes a mistake or he has a bad quarter or two, I'm not going to kick him out the house, just like I wouldn't kick my son out the house if he makes a mistake. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be demanding on them. He's not going to punish them. I mean, he punished, you know, Tank Johnson, you know, a degree for some of the situations that he's had by sitting him down. So, you have to, it's a fine line. You have to have that discipline and that respect. But also, you have to kind of let the guys know that, hey, we're all in this together. And I think that's what really resonated with the whole Rex Grossman thing and how Lovie handled it.
We had Marv Levy, who's played that role as a coach with the guys like Bruce Smith that weren't early in their career, very disciplined players, and found a way to connect to them, and they began to look at themselves as leaders. And once he accomplished that, it was downhill. What does Lovie do to help his players look at themselves as leaders on each team?
Well, I think the thing he does that really you have to have is he's consistent. So he's not going to be wishy-washy and one day handle one situation totally different. So players tend to know what to expect from their leader. And then they can in turn be leaders because he's going to give them the respect to listen to them, to take their input, their ideas, and again, kind of, you know, row this boat together.
So many of the best coaches, Marty Schottenheimer is not exempt from this, have had potential disastrous distractions on their team off the field. Here's Marv Levy talking about that and what George Allen used to tell him, the old Redskins outstanding coach.
George Allen, be careful of that guy that's going to win you a game and lose you two. And why does he lose it? Because he's disruptive, because he's self-centered, because he's not team-oriented in the most team-oriented game, what should be, that there is in football. So somebody once asked me, how do you motivate those players? And I finally learned it's easy. You select only intrinsically motivated players. And you win their confidence, Nick, by being a straight shooter with them. Don't try to con your players. Have them realize over a period of time that what you're teaching and what you're conveying is to their benefit of them and the game and their teammates.
That's Marv Levy. Another thing Marv said was, Jarrett Bell, that charisma is over-exaggerated. It's not the most important thing. It is honesty. It is trust. How do those things fit into Lovie Smith?
Oh, I think, you know, yeah, he is not John Gruden on the sideline. He's like the anti-Mike Ditka. And, you know, he could be very boring, if you will. You know, when I talked to him last week, Nick, I was kind of surprised that he was as open and as chatty as he was. And even his wife told me, that, you know, when she first met him, you know, he kind of played that role of being a quiet guy. And I think that is part of him. But I think once you get beyond and you kind of get to the whole thing about communicating with people, you don't have to have a guy who's screaming and yelling and ranting. And Lovie Smith is none of that. I mean, the guy doesn't curse. He's a religious guy. So he tries to, you know, carry himself with a cool, even demeanor. And I think that can actually comfort players. And you know, what you said is so dead on in terms of how you really are effective as a coach. Because, remember, you got 50-something players on the team, so everybody gets motivated in a different way. And when they're professionals, they've got to know how to motivate themselves pretty much. But I think the thing that you do as a coach is you have the players go in with a sense of confidence that we're prepared. So you go in knowing that the coach has given you all the options, all the scenarios, helped you, you know, understand the playbook and the game plan. And when you go into a game feeling prepared, I mean, that's an enormous thing in football. And if you can, you know, convey that to your entire team, I think that's what you do. That's so effective as a coach. And I've heard that from a lot of players talking about some of the great coaches. They would tell you that, hey, you know, Tom Landry, Joe Gibbs, you know, Mike Shanahan, when they were really winning Super Bowls, and probably still a lot now too, that they go in with a sense that this guy knows what he's doing, what he's selling us, we believe in.
Marty Schottenheimer would say to us, trust in the system, one brick at a time, one day at a time, one play at a time. And I'm sure that his Chargers have heard that more than once, but he's had to soften himself enough to play with the individual motivational buttons of each player without still, you know, without sacrificing the perception of him as a strong leader. So here you have Lovie Smith subtly putting in Brian Griese. I don't know how subtle it was, but it certainly was an interesting move. It gives Brian Griese a little bit more of a sense of that rapid-fire speed and acceleration of the real NFL game itself. What kind of statement was that this weekend?
You know, I talked to Lovie the night before the game, and he told me at that time, I'm going to play Brian Griese. So, I mean, they've got everything locked up, the number one seed. Of course, they want to stay sharp and build momentum. But, I mean, he told me the night before, I'm going to put Brian Griese in the game. I'm not going to play Brian Urlacher the entire game. And, you know, Musa Muhammad, he wasn't going to play him the entire game. And so I think within the team, I'm sure he told them the same thing, and they could expect it. But when you're talking about as volatile or as sensitive as a situation as it's been in the past few weeks with Rex Grossman, I'm sure people read a lot more into it. But I think it was a smart thing to do just to, like you said, give Brian a little bit of time and then to try to preserve Rex a little bit too and you know, not wear all your guys out. And, hey, it was a close game. That's the thing that really makes it interesting because, you know, they could have lost that game just as well as they wanted.
Since the start of last year, the Bears are 24-7, and yet no one's really mentioning Lovie Smith for Coach of the Year. Why is that?
Well, he won it last year. He won it in a lot of the different...
So what?
last year. But I think, you know, and here's the reason why, Nick. I'm going to tell you what happens with this Coach of the Year thing, and it's not really fair, but it's what always seems to happen. Once you're crappy and then you get good, that's how you get considered for Coach of the Year. Usually if a coach is successful, like if he's 11-5 last year and he's 12-4 this year, people say, okay, there he is. I mean, Tony Dungy's never won Coach of the Year, okay? Bill Belichick, I don't know if he has or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if he – I think I'm pretty sure Belichick probably has at some point, but, you know, when they went in 3 Super Bowls, he didn't. It's always the coach who takes a team like an Eric Mangini. You know, the Jets were whatever last year, 4-12, 5-11, and then now they're, you know, on the verge of making the playoffs. That's the coach, Sean Payton. You know, the Saints were so bad last year. New coach comes in, turns them around. Those are the guys who get the most consideration. But I also think you can really make a case for a guy like Lovie Smith and a guy like Brian Billick as well. You know, coaches who have been established winners before, and then they're still doing it. Bill Belichick, too, to tell you the truth. I mean, yeah. You know, if he's coach of the year this year, that's not a bad thing. He won't be, but you see what I'm saying? It's like they weren't like dog meat last year, and that's what kind of eliminates a lot of coaches from that consideration.
Well, one of the things, if you look at this season, it's been the most up-and-down season I can remember in the 27 or whatever years I've been connected with the NFL. It has been the most unpredictable. So to be able to bring a team from one year to the next with all the distractions each of these teams has had, I mean, Steve McNair coming into Baltimore, that's a significant change. And yet Baltimore fires its offensive coordinator. Billy steps in. Let's talk when we come back about comparing Baltimore and Chicago. We'll leave San Diego out for right now. Two teams that win it in the trenches, two teams with outstanding defenses. For the last few minutes with Jarrett Bell, one of the best writers covering the NFL for USA Today. You're listening to Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sport, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy. And each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to TicketsNow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com.
Jim Place presents the Proline Sports Radio Show, direct from Las Vegas, airing Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. and again Saturday mornings from 10 till noon. Get the information the Vegas books don't want you to have each and every week with the best handicappers in the country, featuring Jim Feist, Dave Koken, Scott Spritzer, Len McGrew, and Bob Donahue. Let the experts break down this week's games. That's the Proline Sports Radio Show on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Channel 122.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
800-878-7529. That was Dick Vermeil. You got to get it done that day. That's a guy that learned it the right way, the hard way, in that first Super Bowl, came back and won it for the Rams. Here's Mark Schlereth talking about the two, I think, the two best teams along with San Diego.
You win on the offensive line and you win on the defensive line. And if you win the battle of the trenches, more often than not, you're going to come out ahead on the scoreboard. And you look at the Baltimore Ravens right now. This statistic says it all. In the last five games, 27 sacks for, one sack against. They have sacked their opponent's quarterback 27 times. You put that kind of relentless pressure on a quarterback, and you sack a quarterback that many times, you're going to lead the league in plus-minus differential, which they do. They're plus 15 right now. And you protect your quarterback, Listen, the one thing that people have to understand is this is a game where punting is not a bad thing. That's not penalized. If you can't convert, you can punt, you can play a field position game, and you can get yourself opportunities with a great defense. You've got a chance to win a lot of games, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
That's the Baltimore Ravens. How do you compare the Baltimore Ravens with the Chicago Bears? Which team has the edge?
Oh, I think Baltimore right now, if I had to pick one of those in a game, I go with the Ravens. And part of that is because I like their veteran leadership and their veteran savvy at some pretty key spots. You know, Steve McNair has not been lights out by no means this year. You can find a dozen quarterbacks with better stats. But if you give him the ball with a chance to win and 2 minutes to go, he can get it done. And he has this season. Just to get back to what Schlereth was saying, yeah, I was going to mention that stat, too. That 27-1 ratio is just amazing. And the thing about it, Nick, from a defensive standpoint, it's not just one guy. You know, you got about five or six guys who can get those 27 sacks. And then what that does, even when they don't get the sacks and they get the pressure, it forces people to make bad decisions, and that leads to turnovers. So, yeah.
You got 10 different guys with interceptions is one example.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And so it's a fast defense. You know, Ray Lewis told me this earlier this year, Nick, and, I mean, it's a great point. As good as that Baltimore Ravens defense was in 2000, this one, he thinks, is even better. You know, the statistics may not say it, and the statistics are pretty good, but it's built differently. They've got a lot more speed and a lot more athleticism than that unit had in 2000. And so, consequently, they can make even more big plays with, you know, running back interceptions and things like that.
Here's my last question to you as we look at teams that are they're finding a way to be hot when it matters most. Pittsburgh had to win out last year. They did. They ended up winning it all. This year, to me, you could argue strongly that it's the Philadelphia Eagles that are most closely resembling the team that was counted out and then finding itself when it matters right at the end.
Yeah, I agree. And I was talking to the Bears GM about that this week. You know, what's your biggest concern going into the playoffs when you're the number one seed? And it is that hot team. Now, they think that they can still become that hot team, but that's what you need right now. You need a winning streak of about four or five games in a row. And if you're Philadelphia, you've already started that. If you're Chicago, yeah, you've won some games, but you haven't exactly dominated. Bill Parcells was talking about it yesterday. He says, hey, you know, at least we're in right now, so we have a chance to all of a sudden catch fire. And that's what a lot of people in all these teams actually are going to be banking on to see what they can do in the playoffs.
Talking with Jared Bell from USA Today, Marv Levy said something about hustle. We've I think, given a bad name to hustle because it's connected with Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, who actually, I think, is worth a lot. He's a guy that has a lot of insight into what are the essence of champions in any sport. Here's Marv Levy talking about hustle.
I used to have a page in our player's notebook that was titled Hustle, and I won't read it all through right now, but it shows how important we thought it was, and it was really gratifying to hear Mark talk a moment ago about Phil Hansen, who actually, in terms of overachieving, in terms of putting forth effort, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone do it more intensely than that young man. Even the great comeback victory that we won, the greatest comeback in NFL history, when we forged ahead of the Houston Oilers, at the end of the game, he made a tackle downfield after being cut blocked on a screen pass where he pursued and dove and spilled the guy that would have gone ahead with the winning touchdown down about our 4-yard line, and we were able to prevail. That play is not much remembered. But hustle, wow, is it important? It's what we're trying to build our defense on here. Constant effort, and it's so important.
And that's what reminds me of the Baltimore Ravens. I see it with Chicago when they're playing at their best, this relentless quality which results in these turnovers. What other teams would you say are in the final top three, four, five? I would imagine
San
New
Diego.
Orleans is one of them. What else? San Diego.
No, San Diego on that defense. And, you know, they won when Sean Merriman was out. But he, you know, his nickname's Lights Out and all that stuff, but he's an electric guy as well, and you can see where that kind of permeates itself throughout that whole defense. That's a team, too, that flies around a whole lot. You know, on the other side, you know, maybe Philadelphia, and their defense has played much better in the past month because even, you know, going back to last year, it wasn't the same Jim Johnson defense that we've been used to when the Eagles were winning division titles. And last year they weren't. They had a bunch of injuries, but I think think now you got guys like, you know, Brian Dawkins and Jeremiah Trotter and Lito Shepard, and they like to fly around and they're healthy too. So that's another one right now you put in that bunch.
In your article in USA Today, you talk about Lovie Smith and finishing. We began with Lovie, we'll finish with Lovie. You say that he keeps a blue sport coat that belonged to club founder and coach, the legendary George Papa Bear Halas. Is he going to be keeping a thing called the Vince Lombardi Trophy with him after this season?
Maybe. You know, that's the ultimate goal. And, you know, I asked him about that, and he said he just wanted to have something of, you know, Papa Bear Halas, you know, in his possession, you know. The Bears are still, you know, Virginia McCaskey as Halas' daughter. I mean, it's still in the Halas family, the franchise. And, you know, he's got this coat hanging in his office. I said, hey, Lovie, have you tried the coat on? Have you ever, like, in your own private moments, put that coat on and just kind of, you know, sported it in the mirror? And he started laughing. He says, hey, you know, George Halas was a lot smaller than I was. I couldn't even fit it. But you
even
know,
though he's lost 25 pounds.
Yeah, and even though he's lost 20, that's what I thought. He's like lost 25 pounds. He still can't fit Papa Bear's coat. But, you know, it's a great thing. It just shows his appreciation for the sport, the history, and the franchise. And, you know, he's clearly a guy who, you know, has a lot of things in perspective.
Well, we appreciate your sharing that perspective with us. Jared Bell, we hope we get you on the show next week, and we'll do some more good stuff.
No, I appreciate it, Nick. I'm looking forward to the second season, man. This is what it's all about now.
Yeah, we just set the table. Thanks, bud.
Okay, bud.
Jared Bell, USA Today. Jim Beattie, the best laid plans of men and mice. We talked this morning about Barry Zito going to the Yankees. If Randy Johnson went back to the team where he really did his best with the Diamondbacks, and now Zito is going to San Francisco. What now?
Well, I think Scott Boras this is when Scott is at his best. He wants to get as many teams involved as possible. And, if he can get those New York teams involved, he can get another club or two involved. And I think it's, one, money is going to drive it. The other one that we don't know about is what are Barry's preferences. Does he want to stay on the West Coast? He is a West Coast guy. Or does he want to try the big stage in the Big Apple? And we'll have to see how Scott plays this one out.
Well, the website right now on ESPN says that sources told Peter Gammons that Zito has agreed to a 7-year, $126 million contract. So this has happened just in the last hour or two. The deal includes an $18 million option for 2014, a complete no-trade clause, a source told ESPN.com's Jerry Krasnick. So that throws out all of our good stuff about the Yankees and the Mets, but it also restores some shine to the Giants star who had lost Schmidt. So let's go in that direction for a little bit. If Zito comes to San Francisco, to the Giants, how much does that heal the wound left by Schmidt leaving?
Well, it helps out a lot. You know, you just don't know how, when you replace one good pitcher with another good pitcher, how it's all going to play itself out. I think the one thing that's beneficial is that Zito, coming from the American League, going to the National League, I think is an easier transition. I think it's oftentimes when we would take a look at pitchers, we were always a little questionable getting a National League pitcher, bringing him over to the American League. The American League is a tougher. The lineups are tougher, and some of the great stars are tougher, as we've talked about before, the difference in the American League and the National League. So it's going to help out a lot. I think it's a great way to get a little bit younger. Zito only at 28. You know, Schmidt was a little longer in the tooth, so you get a little younger. You get a left-hander rather than a right-hander out there for him, and I think that's a great way to replace it. Dollar for dollar, though, I don't know whether, you know, how that's going to work out for them, though.
Well, the Texas Rangers had offered Scott Boras and Zito 6 years, $87 million. So in one fell swoop, he adds 1 year and $40 million.
Well, I think, you know, when you're a general manager and you're out there making deals for free agents, and when you get involved with pitchers and you start taking a look at throwing 5, 6, and 7 years out there for pitchers, it's very shaky. It can be a very shaky situation and a very risky one. Many clubs will not extend pitchers past 4 years. Right now, you're just trying to get the pitcher. You're trying to make it happen, and throwing an extra year on there kind of makes sense to get the deal done. But in the long run, is it going to be able to pay off for you? It's pretty shaky. Pitching relies on one tool, and that's his arm. And if that goes, unlike a position player, he's not going to be able to do anything else.
Well, on the other hand, you're dealing with a guy that has 173 starts over the last 5 years, which ranks first in Major League Baseball. Interesting stat, too. Zito has made $18 million so far in his career. He'll make that per year in this contract with the Giants.
Well, you're right when you take a look at a guy who's been very durable. But on the other hand, he's been pretty young when he built up a lot of those innings. And how is that going to play out? You've got a seven-year contract when he's 33, 34, and 35. Now, I think the Giants are also taking a look at, listen, we've got Barry Bonds for another year. We've got to do something right now to make this thing work if we're going to win anything. And so they're betting on this year and maybe the next to try to get something done.
Well, I got to give them credit for resurrecting what I thought was a lost year ahead for them. Let's move on to what it means for the Yankees, who most people were saying now, if they lose Randy Johnson, Zito's the perfect guy to fit in, younger. They're going in the direction of younger pitching, younger players. What do the Yankees do now?
Well, I don't know on that one. They're going to have to. I think there's some pitching out there to be had. Some guys that are younger than Randy Johnson, and from what I understand, this was not the genesis of this did not come from the Yankees front office. It more than came from Randy Johnson saying, you know what, I've been here a couple of years, it's been fun, but when you're an older player and you take a look at the things that you value, he's got a World Series ring. I think he probably thought he'd come to New York, grab a World Series ring or two, and then go home. It hasn't worked out that way. Maybe he hasn't enjoyed playing in New York. Maybe he hasn't enjoyed his teammates in New York as much as he did playing when he was in Phoenix area, which is where he makes his off-season home. So maybe he just wants to go home and play out his contract.
I think he just wants to get closer to me. His house is only about a mile from mine there in Paradise Valley. So, but seriously,
you're living in the big rent district there then.
I know, man. I got to watch out for the IRS. They're slamming down my door.
That's why they call it Paradise Valley.
Yep. I think this is a great stroke to have the humility to admit things didn't work out in New York for Randy Johnson. I think he's going to come back and give Jeff Morad, the CEO, and Josh Burns and Bob Melvin a run for their money. I think he's going to give them a push. I think he's going to play better this year. And it certainly is one of the key things that the Diamondbacks have been missing the last couple years to take it to that next level. When we come back, final thoughts about Barry Zito going to the Giants with our good friend Jim Beattie, the fourth of the four Jays. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio for our final segment. We want to thank John Clayton, the professor from ESPN, Jonathan Hayes, the second J, the rising tight ends coach for the Bengals, Jarrett Bell talking about Lovie Smith. And, you know, we got a little quote here before we get back to Jim Beattie. Jim, I thought you'd enjoy this. This is from Seth Joyner talking about Marty Schottenheimer, a guy we didn't talk about, along with Brian Billick with the Ravens and Lovie Smith. And it's about how you build cohesion.
Well, Marty's really smart because what he's doing is he's creating a whole lot of cohesion on his football team by bringing those guys together every Friday and doing that. The second thing, I think hat off to him because there's not many coaches that have the kind of confidence in having veterans around, knowing that these guys have knowledge, knowing that these guys have played the game, understand the game, can coach the game in some respect, and they're okay with having those guys around their player. Because sometimes, you know, as an ex-player, you look at the game and, you know, you feel like you've got all the answers. And I think sometimes head coaches, organizations become intimidated by that whole type of situation.
That's Seth Joyner. So you're bringing back a Randy Johnson. The guy's 43 years old. You're bringing back a guy that's going to bring all of that experience back. Tell us what experience and coaches that have the confidence, the self-confidence, to surround themselves with strong leadership type in the clubhouse.
Well, Randy is a guy, certainly with all of his experience and the way he approaches the game, is going to be a great example for a younger Diamondback team. I think there's some young pitchers in that organization and with that club that can benefit just by watching the way he goes about his business. I don't think Randy is necessarily a vocal leader in the clubhouse or on the
field.
No, he's
not.
But the way he approaches the game and the way he is very serious about game day. I remember when I was the minor league director with the Mariners, and Randy was with the Mariners, you did not talk to Randy Johnson on the day he was pitching. You stayed away
just
from
like
him.
Just like Seth Joyner.
That's the way he took it. It was time for war, and he was starting it, putting on his game face, and starting it all day long. So I'm not sure how his family handled it, but the guys in the clubhouse understood, stay away, let him do his deal, get into his zone so he can help us win today.
Hey, Jim, we're going to let you get back on your zone on the highway up to New England. Thanks, Jim Beattie. Appreciate it.
You bet, Nick. Have a happy new year.
You bet. Jim Beattie, former general manager for the Expos, vice president with the Orioles. We want to thank John Clayton, Jonathan Hayes from the Bengals, Jarrett Bell from USA Today, and Jim Beattie. Thanks for listening. Go to Head Games Radio for all the highlights, all the clips. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.